Welcome to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM, 99.3 FM WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBAR 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. In this segment, I'll be talking about Michigan Tech Athletics with MTU Athletic Director Suzanne Sandregret. Mrs. Sandregret, thank you very much for joining me on today's program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Not a lot of athletic directors can say they started at the very bottom rung. So tell us a little bit about your journey from equipment manager to athletic director at Michigan Tech.
Well, I've always had a passion for sports, and when I started college at Michigan Tech, I wasn't good enough to be a collegiate athlete, so I found ways to stay involved and to pay for my education, and I started working as a student in the equipment room. Once I graduated from Michigan Tech, my husband actually had a teaching job in Calumet and coaching up there, and the position of equipment supervisor was available, and I thought, what the heck, I'll try it for a while. And what happened about 23 years ago, now I'm in the AD role, and I've done a lot of the things in between, from business manager, compliance coordinator, senior woman administrator, all kinds of game management, equipment management, all the resource management, financial and human resources for the athletic department.
Now, for those who don't know, the position of athletic director at a university, what does that exactly entail?
Well, my position specifically is director of athletics and recreation. So all of the events and programming that goes on with the student development complex on campus, as well as the trail system and fields, et cetera, are under my watch. From an athletic director standpoint, a lot of it is just the, you know, maintaining the sports that you sponsor from a coaching standpoint, student-athlete standpoint, scheduling, officials. But I think it's moved more into almost the fundraising arm of things, the marketing of the program, different programs, facilities, improvements. And I think one of the things that has been really important to me is to engage the athletic community with the academic community across campus. And I think so far we're doing a pretty good job with that.
Now, it seems like there's just a lot of stuff going on. How big is the department, and how many people do you oversee? Are we talking about just several people?
We have a staff of about 40, plus a lot of students. We oversee a lot of students. I think that's what makes Michigan Tech so special, is how many students we employ in our athletic department. You know, we have 14 varsity sports. We're a Division II institution with Division I men's ice hockey, 14 varsity sports. We're in the WCHA for hockey and the GLIAC for our other Division II sports, except for Nordic skiing, which is in the CCSA, which is a Nordic ski conference.
Now, with all the paperwork and all the communication that has to be done between you, the university, with the NCAA, how is that managed? It seems like you'd probably be walking one day and just stack of papers on your desk.
Well, I think for me, you know, moving into the athletic director role, having been the compliance coordinator and worked with the NCAA compliance for so many years, it was it's manageable for me, even with the athletic director role. I do have a director of NCAA compliance and student athlete services who does the day-to-day with the compliance piece with the NCAA. But I think the important thing to know about the NCAA is the transparency they want and the institutional control that they want. So we have many different folks across campus that are involved in financial aid, in the academic eligibility in the registrar's office. They're involved with, we have faculty involved as an oversight group. The president is involved on a regular basis. So although the day-to-day operation falls with our athletic department, the actual institutional control and accounting pieces actually fall across campus, and we engage a lot of different departments.
So the athletic department right now, what would you assess the current state of the athletic department currently right now?
Well, right now, today, you know, we're doing very well. Our hockey program just swept Michigan and is number 9 in the country. And I think that really speaks volumes for the success that program is coming on with Coach Pearson. Football right now is ranked number 6 in the region and with a win over Ashland this weekend. We're hopeful that we'll be in the postseason and the NCAA championship. So that's wonderful. Soccer just won a quarterfinal game this week in the GLIAC, and they are ranked number 3 in the region. And so those are all really, really positive numbers for us in terms of what our fall season is looking like. We've had tremendous success in our women's basketball program and men's basketball program over the last decade. So really, I'm pleased with where it's going. And I think one of the things I'm most proud of is that even with all of those athletic accolades that I just shared with you, our student body or our student athlete as a whole have a 3.24 cumulative GPA. And that GPA is not just, in basket weaving. Those are engineers and pre-med majors and something to really be proud of. So to carry a 3.24 GPA with all the travel from a rural location like ours, missed class time, the commitment to sport and their training as well as their academics speaks volumes for what our coaches accomplish and what our athletes accomplish on and off the playing surface.
And I do want to talk about the hockey game, the home opener, and I was there covering the game for ABC 10.
Oh, thanks.
And it packed house, so much energy. What was it like to see a sellout at the John McInnes Student Arena?
That was my first sellout as athletic director, so I had goosebumps. Just everything about the whole weekend couldn't have been more perfect with the Stanley Cup and the McNaughton Cup that we had as well, and just the involvement and the enthusiasm from our student body, from our faculty and staff, and from the entire community. We had several other kinds of promotions going on to encourage people to attend, and our community sure did respond. And even more exciting was that the hockey team responded and played two very, very good games and made them very exciting games with goal scoring and great saves by Jamie Phillips. And I couldn't have asked for a more perfect storyline.
Now back to the athletic department. Are there some things maybe going forward that you would like to put a little bit more of your time, a little bit more focus on to see, improvement on?
Sure. I think, one of the important things is you have to maintain your facilities and to attract the best student athletes and in the recruiting process. And facilities do matter to an 18-year-old. So we have master plans for our entire student development complex. As most people have seen, we've done a tremendous amount of work within the McInnes Ice Arena, Student Ice Arena. We've added turf at Sherman Field. The next project for Sherman Field will be the seating. So we're in the process of fundraising for that. And hope to replace the seating and renovate that portion of the stadium in time for next fall. We're hopeful with that. Master planning, our athletic department is growing. We have a need for locker room space. We have a need for a new strength and conditioning center, as well as some medical areas for some student athlete welfare. So,
you're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest, Suzanne Sandregret, athletic director at Michigan Tech. Let's get to just the difference because of the NCAA Division I and Division II. What are some differences or even similarities between having a sport designated as Division I or Division II?
Well, there is a completely different set of rules, although many of those rules do translate from one division to the other. Division II has really gone out there and has deregulated a lot of the rules that were in place when they were federated under Division I. And the Division II doesn't need to – they don't quite have the same financial what you see in the media with the pay-to-play and those kinds of things. Division II is much more about the athletic experience coupled with an academic experience, whereas Division I, for some sports, hockey being one of them, football and basketball and Division I being the others, where they really are looking to be professional. So the rules over the last 10 years for Division II have really deregulated, whereas the rules in Division I have actually become more stringent. So we spend a lot of time, I guess, making sure that we don't misinform one or the other coaches across divisions, and that has happened. Actually, it happened to me when I was the compliance coordinator. But there's a lot of paperwork involved, a lot of due diligence in terms of making sure everything's documented, and that you have a lot of people across campus involved with what you're doing, recruiting wise, financial aid wise, eligibility wise. There are differences. I don't know that the listeners would understand all of them.
Oh, yeah.
but there are, and then there's a lot of similarities too, and I think having a Division I program has really been great for our Division II programs, because as one boat rises, as one program gets better, meaning hockey, the rest will rise to that as well and benefit greatly from it.
Is the ultimate goal to get all of the Division II up to Division I, or do you have plans?
No, we are very pleased with the Division II environment. I think that for Michigan Tech, the size of institution that we are, Division II for all of our other sports is where we need to be. Hockey, on the other hand, there are many Division II institutions that have Division I hockey, and it's a pretty common place. But that, you know, our community, our stadium, for instance, in football, can't support the requirements that are necessary for a Division I program.
Are there any plans to add any sports, and whether it be men's or women's?
Well, we did add women's soccer 5 years ago, and very successful off the bat, more successful, I think, than anyone I know. It's off the charts in terms of where I thought it would be at this point in time. So kudos to Coach Jacob on that, that program and developing it to where it is. We do have business plans put together for a handful of other athletic programs that would fit well with Michigan Tech. It's just a matter of having the facilities to accommodate them in terms of locker rooms, in terms of athletic training facilities and strength and conditioning facilities. And so we are looking at several possibilities. I think about four or five programs right now that we have developed plans for.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest, Michigan Tech Athletic Director Suzanne Sanregret. We all know hockey's number one out here. And with the WCHA reform, what was the key for you, the universities, and I guess the other athletic directors that were involved to be able to pull off the reform of the WCHA?
Well, I think for Michigan Tech, it's been a good positive change, because it's allowed us to become a part of a league with other Michigan-based schools, meaning Northern Michigan, Lake Superior State, and Ferris State. And our alumni base is in those areas. Also, it's opened up our non-conference schedule to be able to play teams like Michigan and Michigan State, which I think really resonate with our students and with our fan base and with our community. The institutions that left the WCHA weren't really very good draws for us in terms of our local fan base. So the change has been really positive. I think now, you know, when I look at the existing WCHA as it stands today, our facility, the quality of our academic programs, athletic programs, are really one of the best in that group. And I think we have a very good opportunity to compete for a league title. And I think in order to win a national championship, the hardest part about a national championship is getting out of the conference play and the grind of that long season. Once you get out of your conference play, you go to individual games, single game series, and Michigan Tech can beat anybody once. And that's how you need to get to win a national championship.
And so with the reform of the WCHA, was one of the side effects the intensifying of getting recruits?
You know, recruiting is always difficult and always challenging. In the Division I circles, you know, you have to find the right fit for your institution and for your geographic location. And regardless of the league, I think if you have the right coach who can assist that hockey player to get to the next level and get to the NHL, which is their ultimate goal, you know, there's good fits everywhere. I'm not sure how much it totally depends on the league. I think it depends more on the connections of your head coach. The other factor is that, you know, at Michigan Tech, we have to recruit quality student athletes. They can't just be successful in the athletic arena. They have to be successful students as well. So that's a real benefit for us, and it helps us, I guess, in narrowing the pool to be very strategic in who we bring on campus to as a prospect.
So going more into the recruiting process in general, what are there, is there maybe some selling points that you guys like to pound home for to bring in these student athletes to the Michigan Tech campus?
Well, I think, you know, in all of our sports, we can offer a tremendous degree. And that's important, whether whether college athletics is the last chapter of your athletic career or if it's just the beginning, meaning you're going to go on to be a professional. But the degree itself is incredibly valuable, and is, even if you're going to be pro, it's a great backup plan if that pro route doesn't work for you. So we really do sell the academic side of Michigan Tech. Some of the other pieces that are really important, like I said, is the quality of the coaching staff and what they can do for you beyond your collegiate experience. I mean, we do see that in men's basketball. Two years ago, Ollie Haidar, men's basketball player, he's now playing professionally over in Europe. And one of the selling points is that our assistant coach also played professionally in Europe, so has connections there. And once their collegiate career is over, can really try to help place them. And that occurs, obviously, in hockey often. But there are some selling points. We're not going to go after a recruit that wants big city, wants inner city, wants a campus with 40,000 students. You need to be proud of the niches and the things that you have here and sell those, and not be sorry for it being different than maybe another institution. There are prospects and recruits out there who want a smaller environment, who want smaller class sizes, who want to be engineers or want a small community like this. We obviously sell very hard our facilities. Our facilities, I would stack up against Division I institutions across the country. They're tremendous. We can offer everything as other institutions do. So we're often in battles with some smaller D1 institutions in our D2 programs because of the quality of our program, quality of academics, quality of facilities and coaching.
Now, I spoke with a few people who are who really follow Michigan Tech athletics a lot, and I'm being told that there are some student athletes that are from not just from the United States, from all over the world. Where are they from? Are there a couple of, and how do you get, what's the selling point of somebody who lives so far away to come to Michigan Tech?
Well, one of our most diverse rosters are men's and women's tennis, and a lot of times now that recruiting is being done via Skype, using the internet, sending film and tape, and you can get a pretty good idea. But we do have student athletes on our tennis rosters, Israel, Mexico, Kazakhstan. We have Nordic skiers from Scandinavian countries. So it's pretty common in tennis to have a very international roster. And they fit well at Michigan Tech because we do have a higher international population than a lot of institutions.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest, Michigan Tech Athletic Director Suzanne Sanregret. So in terms of the academics, you said the average is about a 3.2 GPA.
Yes.
So where is the bar set?
We would like to see all of our programs over a 3.0. The other metrics that we use and that we track is our graduation rate. Many of our programs have 100% graduation rate, women's basketball, men's basketball, volleyball. So they do very well academically. We do offer a lot of support for our student-athletes. As I mentioned, we have a director of NCAA compliance and student-athlete services, and she works directly with any of our at-risk students. We have a lot of inner-city, first-time college students and first-generation college students. So we want to make sure that they transition well. We offer a lot of support for them in their freshman year. We do a lot of monitoring where they have to bring grade reports from the faculty members into the coach or into the director of compliance services. We try to stay on top of it. We make sure that we have study hall. We have mandatory study hall for some, depending on their cumulative GPA, mandatory study hall for all freshmen. So we do have a lot of mechanisms in place to make sure that they're doing well academically, because we clearly see that the better they do academically, the better they tend to do athletically, as the stress level's a little bit lower. But we have a lot of programming for that first year, especially because, you know, we have a lot of – the students all tend to transition a little bit differently from high school to college. Some, you know, they're a 4.0 coming in with a 33 ACT, and they might struggle, whereas the 2.5 student that we're taking a risk on just flies right through. And it just depends on – everyone transitions a bit differently from being away from home and being in the environment. So we offer a lot of support.
Recently in the media, I wanted to talk about two of these issues. The first one, and I think we briefly touched on it, is the pay for play with the student athletes. I mean, just straightforward, what is your take on that dispute, I guess?
Yeah, I see both sides of it. I guess where I do fall, though, is that NCAA collegiate and collegiate athletics, even without putting the NCAA, the big bad NCAA, mm-hmm. in the equation, but college athletics is amateurism, and it's all about the amateur athlete. And we now have a lot of our college athletes that are turning pro, not necessarily at Michigan Tech, but we have a handful that do turn pro prior to completing their collegiate eligibility, you know, in their first year, second year, third year. So I do struggle with that component. On the other hand, you know, of the argument is when you see coaches and institutions making millions of dollars off of the performance of those athletes, and if they're not a full ride athlete, I can see the complaint. But they are getting a degree out of it. They do have an opportunity to get that college degree, and they're getting it paid for, whereas the rest of your student body is paying it out of their own pocket or through scholarships. So, you know, I see both sides of it, but when it comes down to it, collegiate athletics was founded on enhancing that academic experience, and it was founded on amateurism, and that's what it was meant to be. And we'll have to see how it continues to evolve. The other point I would bring up is that in terms of those sports that are making those big dollars and those coaches, that's very few. What people are forgetting about is that at those big Division I institutions where their football program or their men's basketball program, and that's really where the issue of pay-to-play is coming into play, is that the resources and the financial impact and helps so many other programs like swimming and diving, mm-hmm. lacrosse, tennis, golf, and really provides a great opportunity for those athletes who probably will never turn professional. But that's the true mission of the athletic program.
And the other issue being concussions and the myth that concussions seem to only happen in football, when in actuality, like we spoke before the program, soccer has a higher rate of concussions, hockey has concussions. What has the university done to really try and look out for the health and well-being of student athletes when it comes to concussions?
Well, the first thing is that you are required to have a concussion management plan, and in that plan, it removes the authority from the coaching staff of making a decision of when a student athlete goes out or goes back in. And that authority at Michigan Tech is with our certified athletic trainers as well as with our team physician. Our coaches do not get involved in those decisions. Once a certified athletic trainer has the authority to pull a player out of competition, and the only person that can put that athlete back into play is the team physician once they've passed actually three different tests, impact testing, balance testing, and once they pass those, then they are cleared to play again. But that may take in some cases weeks, and we've removed our coaching staff from any involvement in that process, and that I believe is what has really protects us as an institution, and more importantly, protects the student athlete.
Michigan Tech, as a university, is known in this area as, you know, one of the biggest suppliers of jobs in this area. And I wanted you to talk about Michigan Tech athletics and its economic impact on the Houghton, Hancock, the entire Copper Country community, and how it's able to impact it impact it economically?
Well, you know, we do attract a lot of student athletes that would not choose Michigan Tech if it wasn't for the sport that they get to play. So it enhances enrollment, which then obviously enhances the amount of students that are in the community and spending their dollars. From an athletic standpoint, in the contests that we offer, contests that occur on our campus, it does bring in many guests, whether it's hockey or football, hundreds at times. And I think one interesting thing about the student development complex in itself and how busy it is we see over 1.2 million visitors a year just in the SDC, and a lot of those are visitors and alumni that come back and are really attracted to coming back to see the Huskies play. So I think it does have an impact, and very positively. Additionally, I think it gives a lot of people in our community a rallying point and a team to follow, and there is a lot of pride, and I'm very thankful for the involvement of our community in purchasing tickets and being supportive of our programs and making our environment for hockey, football, basketball, volleyball, soccer, tennis, really one of the best facilities to play in. And a lot of our opponents come in and can't believe the size of our fans and the crowds that we have and the number of fans that come out. And an example I'll give is, you know, hockey this weekend was sold out at 4466. Well, that's almost 20% of our community. And there's not an athletic program in the country that wouldn't take 20% of their community attending their events. So I'm very thankful to our community for supporting our programs in good times and in bad. Hopefully we have a lot more good times to celebrate with each other as we go forward.
All righty. Well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. Mrs. Samregret, thank you very much for joining me on today's program.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Go Huskies.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. We'll be right back with more of Copper Country Today.